Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Welcome, friends. It's Monday night, and thanks for being with us on your show, Raising Expectations. And as you know, the title says it all. We're here because our team loves the Lord Jesus Christ. We're born-again Christians, and we believe that God has a plan in our life. And included in that plan is raising our expectations to the fullness of all we can become through a walk and a talk and prayer time with Him each and every day. He died on the cross for our sins. He's coming again to reclaim us. And when He does, oh boy. But in the meantime, we always say He's walking with us every day. And there's nothing like it to realize, no matter what's going on around us, He, God, is in control, and we walk with Him by faith. And that faith is something that's already set in heaven, and we can believe it and trust it and abide in it. Thanks for being with us. We don't take it for granted that you're with us every Monday night. We thank God that you tune in, and we thank God for your correspondence that we receive from you all during the week, whether it be text or not to be too old. We don't get cards and letters anymore. I was reminded of that as I'm getting old, but we get texts and other notes and things like this. Thanks for sharing with us your victories. Thanks for sharing with us quite often prayer requests so that we could bring them before the throne and ask God to bless you. He knows what's going on in your life. We may not. We may never see you face to face on this side, but someday we'll see in person and you can share what God's done in your life. So again, thanks for being with us. We always take time to quickly share our team with you. This team has blessed my life very much. I've been a pastor for 50 years. I'm Joe Schofield, you know, actually 55 years. But this group of people is a great blessing in my life. And I'm going to start on the West Coast. If you go with me, we're going to fly back all the way to Lompoc, California, which is just north of Santa Barbara, and it's nicknamed Rocket Town. And living there is Dr. Paul Hall. Paul Hall's been my friend for over 55 years. He was there a minute ago. I think he's coming, folks. Don't worry. But his name is Paul, and there he is. There we go. Paul, 55 years. He's been helping people, preaching, sharing, caring. He's a professor. He's a teacher. He knows the Word of God in a great way. And when I say that, the greatest of the way he knows the Word of God is the heart that connects with the Word of God, which he uses and has used in my life to bless, gently touch, direct, and guide people. That's why he's respected and looked up to the way he is each and every day. It's good to see you, Paul. Miss seeing you in person, buddy. Okay. And yes. Paul and I are going to jog on together now to, we're going to miss Dr. Thayer and his wife today. Steph and Tank got called into a meeting and they were not happy because she, especially Stephanie, wanted to meet our special guest tonight. She missed them last time and really wanted to meet Mark's wife, Belinda, again and share with her a little bit in the program. But they were tied up tonight. Want you all to know they'll be back live and well next week. And they really were upset they had to miss it tonight. We miss them when they're not here. So we won't go all the way to the south part of the East Coast, but we'll stop in Central America, the great state of Texas. And there in Texas, in the great state of McKinney, is our favorite pastor, probably in the entire state. And his name is Ron Greer. Ron is a pastor. He's a teacher. He's much less than a shy guy. He's the guy that just make you feel like you've known him all your life, like Paul. He's a blessing to everybody he meets. And he does have the best bookcase on television or radio anywhere. It's right there. And so we have to, I got another text on that not too long ago. It says, where'd you get that bookcase? I don't know, but we'll find out for you. But in any event, Ron and his wife, Ross, had a wonderful anniversary, came back from a great trip. We're down under, right, Ron?
Down under in Australia, then New Zealand, and then back to Australia, and then on a horrible 15-hour flight back here. Hey, but we lived Sunday twice. We left on Sunday, spent all day Sunday flying, and arrived on Sunday. So we got a
Yeah.
chance to do it twice.
How about that, Paul?
That was really fast.
That was fast, wasn't it? Well, we missed you. We're glad you had a great time, and
Yes, we did.
we're glad you had a wonderful time with your wife. You're back home safe
Very
and
sad.
sound, and it's never the same without you, bud. So glad to
Praise God.
see you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. And so it's the three amigos here tonight. It's the three of us. So we're going to welcome for you tonight. Using the world famous that we have made it, we used to use the 20th Century Fox introduction because it was pretty and fantastic. But then we realized they don't even know what the round of applause is. So we bring on our guests with a round of applause. And we want to bring on for you Mark and Belinda Rich. They work with Wycliffe or Wycliffe Bible Translation and JARS. I'm going to let him tell us about that with her. And Mark and Belinda live on the East Coast. And so it's a little later for them. So we'll talk real loud, make sure we keep them awake. But welcome with a round of
Yeah,
applause,
please.
guys. Welcome. Here we go.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's all right. So, how have you guys been?
We've been doing great.
Amen. Tell us, Mark. Tell us, Belinda, again about the Wycliffe translation, a quick synopsis. Most of the people are tuning in, they're excited about that, and about JARS and your flying and all those things. And kind of tell us the story about it, and then we'll go from there.
Well, I'm with JARS. I mean, Wycliffe and SIL and JARS are all family, but I'm with JARS, and we do the transportation linguistics for Bible translations around the world. What we like to say is we travel the last mile for our missionaries. Once they get as far as they can by commercial air, by commercial boat, whatever it is, we take them the rest of the way, and that's through jungle, through, I don't know, just about anything you could think of. We've got airstrips in Papua New Guinea that are on 16-degree slopes on the top of a mountain that we fly into.
Wow. No wonder he's a man of great faith, huh, Ron? Oh my goodness. And you spent quite a bit of time there a while back, right? You were gone for quite a while and came back helping one group.
Yeah, we served 4 years in Vanuatu, which is just south of Papua New Guinea. So Ron, that flight, I understand, man, it is terrible. I'm not positive, but I think we left Melbourne back to the States, and we got there before we got there before we left.
We left,
So
right? The same, the one of the weirdest things ever, and I'm still recovering.
yes.
My
Yes.
clock is kind of messed up.
Understand.
So yeah, we spent 4 years in Vanuatu, loved it. Some of the best years of our marriage.
Wow.
And most of all, we were able to serve God out there, and it was just a true blessing.
Yeah. Do you give us an example of a typical kind of day that, say, when you're out there, what you might do on a typical day? People
Well,
ask
I
me
didn't
that.
have one. That's the problem. That was the great part about it. I didn't have one.
Oh, you didn't, you made it up as you went, huh? Yeah.
So normally we start off with Bible study in our office with all the locals and us too. And we normally read the Bible in Bizlama, their local trade language. So my Bizlama was it was a work in progress. But I could understand it. I could understand them reading the Bible, but anyway, my speaking was a different story. After that, it could be anywhere from going down to the government buildings for visas and work permits to going to the grocery store and buying supplies and then going down to the cargo boats and loading them up and shipping them off to the different islands for our people. It could be going to the airport, picking people up. It could be, I don't know, just I was just that MISC director. I was a miscellaneous director. Whatever needed to be done, I did it. And I loved it.
Whatever they needed, huh?
That's it,
Amen.
man. I did
Yeah. All right. Well, Paul, you got a question?
You know, when I was when Joe and I were in college, which was before the turn of the century, we had a Wycliffe translator come to Hardin Simmons in Abilene, Texas, and gave us a demonstration of how to develop a language. If I remember correctly, last time you were with us, Mark, you talked about the different dialects, et cetera, you know, that translators run into and how difficult that is. And of course, your support ministry that you had to those who, you know, doing those kind of businesses. How did you find, just for our guests, how did you find people in terms of being receptive to the scripture? And once they responded, was Wycliffe involved in getting them into some discipleship training, et cetera, things like that? Could you kind of run through that with us? That'd be helpful.
Yeah, they were very receptive. I don't know if we talked about it before. I hate repeating myself, but they call themselves a Christian nation. But yet, when you've got 110 languages and only maybe a dozen Bibles in the New Testament only, there's a lot of them just has never read the scripture. They just don't understand things. They mix in a lot of tribal culture with the Bible, and it's hard to kind of separate it sometimes. But receptive wise, they were receptive. They were really wanting to learn. They went to their churches. They really enjoyed us being there. SIL had a great impact in that community, and we were very highly respected for what we did. What we tried to do there, and it doesn't happen every place, but we tried to team every translator up with a scripture engagement person. And so not only were they translating the Bible, but as they were translating it, the scripture engagement, they would have these books of the Bible printed up, and then they would go off into the community and they would pass them out, and we would have readings and things of that sort. They were even having some of the book of Genesis in a comic book form. The kids just loved it. Yeah, oh yeah, man. Those were hotcakes, man. They were gone.
That was fast, huh?
So they're also using radio. They're just installing a new radio system this week, antenna and things like that in Vanuatu to help with Bible stories and just getting communications out there. But not only just the Bible things, but just community things. You know, we're out there helping in the schools, writing primers. You know, if we're going to produce a Bible for them, they've got to learn how to read it. Otherwise, it's no good. So, you know, we'd be spinning our wheels if we didn't do that part of it also.
Yeah.
So Glenda, how do you jump in there working with him? You, his main support, do you work with the children at all or in kind of ministry? Somebody asked me that question, said, I don't know.
When we were in Vanuatu, I was a business manager for the offices of SIL. And I was in the office quite often, but when we were needed on the island or we took trips to the island to visit our missionaries, I went with them. And it was a great experience to be in the village and talk one-on-one with the villagers if I could, if I could interact with them in their language. Most of the time they spoke Bislama or we had interpreters. Now I take care of our granddaughter while Mark works in the office, and I do our newsletters. I still communicate with all the people, our supporters. It's a busy, busy life.
Yes.
There's no rest.
You just keep going, right? Amen.
Yes.
Ron, you have a thought on that?
Well, I had a couple of questions, but just for the sake of the audience about where you're talking about, say everybody knows where Australia is. Where is Vanuatu in respect to Australia?
Vanuatu is about 1,000 miles off the coast of Brisbane. I'm sorry, Cairns. It's higher up, Cairns. So it lies between Solomon Islands, New Caledonia, and Fiji.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It's a group of 110 islands, 81 islands, 110 languages, and about 300,000 people. More languages per capita than anywhere else in the world.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, the interesting thing to me is that many languages and dialects in a place that the French and English came and started. That occupied for years. That's amazing to me. So, but another basic is, what does JARA stand for?
Yeah, what's the title?
JARA stands for Jungle Aviation and Relay Service.
Okay.
So we're helping people traveling through the jungle where there's no other transportation. And we're trying to relay God's word to whoever needs it.
Okay. And you're traveling, just flying aircraft back and forth, or is there something more you do?
No, not always. It is a major part of what we do. I just got, I just returned from Central Africa Republic in Africa last month, and we did a transportation needs assessment. Right. We went and we surveyed all the missionaries, and we asked them, what are your needs? You know, a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And their needs out there were more motorbikes than they were anything else. They need motorbikes to get around.
So you guys supply the motorbikes, probably four-wheelers also, or are there four-wheel vehicles?
If needed, we have sent them a four-wheeler in the past. Okay. They're using it. We got to ride in it. We have sent them a generator. We have sent them motorbikes. Right. But they're still in need of more.
Okay.
Not only do the motorbikes, but we also do motorbike training. How to maintain the motorcycle, the motorbike, how to safety. We want to make sure they drive it safely and all the other things that go along with it. And we do the same thing for maritime boats, water safety, things of that sort too. So we have three major areas in transportation. We have maritime, land, and we have air.
That sounds a lot like my Marine Corps days, land, sea, and air, you know. That's a sidetrack, though.
Well, I told you last time, our new president, he was not from the Navy, but he is Army, man. So he's using all the military jargon, man. We're learning it all.
That's pretty good.
Base of operations, you know, ops plan. We got it.
You're like, hey, can you explain it to me? Oh, now, because I wanted to ask that because, you know, the last time I had this idea that these aircraft flying in and out. And then I remember reading something. I was at Pioneers headquarters in Orlando, Florida, the Pioneer Ministries. And I was reading something on Wycliffe and then somehow got sidetracked into JARS. And I didn't know you guys did the land and the sea as well.
Yeah.
But that was interesting to read that.
It's a very complicated kind of a arrangement, but we just take it on faith. Wycliffe, JARS, and SIL were all started by the same man, Cameron Towson.
Right.
We do have some overlap, but we're basically independent. But we do work closely together.
All righty. And on the one other question, you say you do motorbikes and land vehicles. You said Africa, which is brings up another point. Why is that such a need in Africa, off the top of your head?
Well, right now we're focusing on Central Africa. One of the main new ops projects that our president has gotten is it's called the Green Band.
Right.
And the Green Band, we consider it as a 10 degree north of the equator to 10 degrees south of the equator. Hmm. If you take that area around the earth, that is where most of the translations still need to take place. And it's also the place where there's the least amount of transportations available to them.
Okay.
We were doing surveys out there, and these, I mean, they would be traveling 200 miles, and it would take them 2 weeks during the rainy season. Not only a long time, but very dangerous. They have rebels out there that are always stopping them. They have the roads are just bad where they'll slide off a mountain.
You say they have what out there that's dangerous?
Rebels.
There you go. Rebels. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We forget about that here.
Yeah. So when we were out there, we weren't allowed to travel outside the city. We just had to stay there. And but not only those things, they have animals that they have to deal with too. Elephants are a big problem out there.
Right.
20 or 30 foot long snakes, bulkins, you know, or the snakes, panthers, tigers, that kind of stuff. So, right now, we're working in Central Africa with about five countries doing surveys, and we're trying to find out, and we want to set up some base operations out there.
Okay.
Right now, we are in the process of training 12 new pilots and mechanics. We don't have the bases yet, but we feel God's leading us that way. So on faith, we're training them right now to go out and to be there. It's going to take 2 years, but we feel that that's where God's leading us, and you know, if God's leading us, he'll take care of the money problem and the land problem and all that kind of stuff also. We're stepping out on faith.
Now, in training, when you say training pilots, I mean mechanics, so that the equipment you supply, you're training locals to repair and maintain those, or missionaries?
Well, missionaries, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're not locals. I mean, they could be recruited from the area they're from, and we've had some of those.
Okay.
We would like more, but we just don't have it. One of the problems with that is they get back home after all the training, and they can make a lot more money going to the private sector after we've already trained them.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it makes
sense. No problem. No.
Wow.
But I mean, we like locals. In Central Africa, we work hand-in-hand with ACATBA, A-C-A-T-B-A, which is a missionary organization that is local with them, nationals.
Right.
And we work with them. And so everybody who's translating is a local from them. And we're just we help them with problem solving and things of that sort. But they do the work. They're the ones out there being trained and working, and it seems to be working great. But each part of the world, it actually operates differently, and you just have to kind of figure out what works in that community, in that culture.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. One other question: Africa. You mentioned the rain season. Another thing I think Americans can't wrap their head around. How long are the rain season, and how bad is it? And mainly, for instance, there are certain roads that aren't paved, or in some are paved. In the rain season, what happens to those?
Well, first of all, Central Africa Republic, they became a nation in 1960. They haven't had a new road built since 1958.
Whoa.
Mm. So basically, they have a few roads in their capital city. And after that, there's not really any. So if you talk about a hard rainfall, I don't know what the rainfall is there. In Vanuatu, which is still in that kind of Ecuador, in equator area, we had about 200 inches a year.
Wow.
So most of that falls in about 4 month span.
Okay. Right.
So these roads, they're just washed outs. There's not, you know, it's very hard to travel. You're always getting stuck. You're always having to get out and everybody out of the truck and push. You'll have say the size of a Ford 150 truck. You may have 14 people in it. And so they got to all get out and push. And there is some mountainous areas out there that they can slide off of. There's some big trucks that run out there that people take rides on.
Right.
They just jump on the back and they just pile up and pile up and pile up. You've probably seen pictures of stuff like that. But they'll get in the rainy season. They'll slide off. They'll overturn. Kill 20 people. They just dig a big hole, bury them, push the truck upright, and then they just keep on going. It's very sad. And we submit our missionaries to this kind of traveling, and that's what we're wanting to do. Safer travel, easier on the body. You know, thing is, you talk to them and you ask them, well, how hard is it? And their answer is always the same. Oh, it's not hard because God's always taking care of us. And I'm thinking, yeah, but you know, it's still hard. And their life expectancy is like 50 years old. Yeah. And I'm thinking, the way they travel, you know, they may not die of a motorbike wreck or something like that, but the toll of transportation that is on their body is terrible. They get off of a two-day bike ride, and the people at the village they're traveling to have to pick them off the bike and lay them down and revive them because they're so worn out.
Mm.
And I just think that we can do a better job of taking care of our missionaries than that.
I'm sorry. I wanted to go down that road because I don't think people have a really good idea of what missionaries and what people face in those areas. But I would ask one question, but both for Jarrah and Wycliffe. The question would be why? Why endure that? Why even deal with it at all?
Why? That's an easy one. We want to see God's words transform people's lives. Softball, right?
I thought it was softball out there.
Softball out there, I know.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Mark. Tell them.
But, I mean, it's simple. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell you, when their eyes light up, they see it. It's just the best feeling. And I know you know, this is God and them dealing with stuff, but I'm just kind of on the outside collecting some of that glory that's coming off, you know?
Amen. 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 Sorry, I mean to hog all the time, but Stephanie and Tank aren't here, so I got their time. So
you got the time. No, pass it on to you.
Yeah. They're talking about those two schools, Ron. We have two schools that follow us every week. They're listening to you tonight it's the French colony, not the Belgian Congo, just north. What was it, Ron? Help me out. Been a long day. I'm trying to think of the name of it. Not Ghana, but one is Uganda. Very strong, very strong. So we've been praying close with them, and they have this wonderful man and his wife went to seminary there. And Mark, they've opened up. I need to get you the name of them so he could maybe meet you if you're in that area. But they've opened their school, and it's for adults and children, and they're helping people coming out of prison, even helping them. But the main thing is orphans and children. These little children, they got all the donated clothes from this year. Beautiful school. Great. They have good teaching staff. And I just look at them, and they're so happy. Like you said, when you said their faces light up, I thought, that's exactly what's happening with Baramuki there in Uganda. He's watching tonight, I'm sure, saying, yeah, he's preaching. Oh, go, Mark, Belinda, keep going. Because he's – and the other one is probably talk to him, and it's the French colony. I should remember my history. This is terrible. But
not called French.
Yeah, well, maybe this is the French Quarter of the Congo area. It's Central Africa, Central North, not as far as where we had there in Liberia. But anyway, their school is going, and they're helping each other. I had a guy in our church there in Texas that he went, and he dropped all he was doing in Chicago and went there and began to build Christian schools and churches side by side. He's up to 13 schools and churches now. He needs to know, and he might. You may even be helping him or praying with him, but he they're going strong, and they're reaching people. Many of them are Muslims and mayors in Muslim areas, but they're allowing them to come in because they know the ground rules with them, with the pastor, and everyone has shared the ground rules. This is it. We do not preach this. We'll preach this is our faith. This is what we do. And once they watch God work in their lives and the change in their lives, and once again, like you said, Mark, that smile pops on their face. Their kids coming to Christ right and left, but they teach them educationally. It's what's the one down in Pensacola? We used to teach in our Christian schools. Your dad knew them. Anyway, it's a big Christian school company there. What is it, Paul? You remember? It's Pensacola, Florida. Christian schools use all the material. And that's what they use. It's in, Pensacola. It's Pensacola Christian College is their university. They're pretty straight, pretty lean to the right a little bit out there. But starts with the B, BEMA, something like that, education. But ours was always Summit Ministries out of Denver, Colorado. You know Summit. They do incredible work ministry-wise. And they use those. My Christian school, I was the principal in up in Canyonville, Oregon, that we used all their stuff. But it's amazing. And that was his comment, Mark. So you really spurred that thought in my mind. Yes, he said their faces show just light up when they get it, when they start to realize God really loves me, and I am somebody. If I fall off the bike, I'm still somebody. If I can't walk that far, I'm still somebody. Somebody really loves me was the way one of them shared with me from Uganda there. And that's amazing. So I think what you're doing, we all do, is incredible.
Absolutely.
We need to keep it up. Wow. Yeah, Paul,
I
you got
a friend that – oh, sorry. Sorry, go ahead, Paul.
Go ahead, Ron. Go ahead, Ron.
Go. I have a friend that started a mission organization and shortly went to work for someone else, but had a mission conference every year. And I still recall that I did transportation for the conference for him with guests and so forth. And I recall going to the airport with the van to pick up these African pastors and like three different trips. And they were so excited to be here. And in my mind, they're missionary and pastors from Africa. They're coming to a mission conference. And one of the things that we came up with is, well, we want to give a number of guests gifts when they come. And these pastors, they happen to get brand new Bibles. I didn't get my job was to bring them to the room, hand them the gift, and then, go down and get other things done. I remember them coming to the main session and all kind of jittery and excited and animated. And my first thought is like, I wish these guys need to calm down a little bit. They're disturbing people around, right? So come about the third day of the conference, the last day, my friend decided to have a number of guys come up and kind of give their impression of the conference. Well, these three African pastors came. They almost ran to the stage, and they've got their Bibles in their hand.
Amen.
And I can remember, now I've talked to this guy. He and his friend, they had planted 21 churches in, I think, 3 years or something like that. And he's training these pastors in his seminary.
Mm-hmm.
And he's excited about this Bible and what he's doing and what it's going to allow him to do. And I'm going, what's the big deal with him and the Bible? Well, he gets on stage and says that he's crying and says he was praising God because I have a Bible. And I'm trying to figure out, you planted 21 churches and you're training pastors. What do you even have a Bible? And then he says, I finally have a full Bible. So I asked him to get down. I said, how are you training pastors? He said, I have the book of John. I have the John.
Wow.
He's planted 21 churches, training a number of pastors with the book of John, and never had a full Bible.
Yeah.
And you listen to him talk, and his whole point was the book of John, the men and women and children, they come into the kingdom of God.
And
just struck me. And you look at, again, so we see videos of where they're from and blah, blah, blah. And you look at that area and you go, I'm trying to imagine growing in a village where they only huts, dirt roads, there's no jobs, and they farm and they get water out of a dirty river. You go, what would that do to your spirit as a person growing up with no hope of anything other than that drudgery? And they live and die there. And then you think about these guys. They bring the gospel.
Amen.
Transform their lives. And even if you, listen to some of the guys, folks talking there, it changed their outlook on life. They live longer, happier lives.
Amen.
Because they've come to discover the gospel. So I praise God for what you guys do. I really do. That was 1982. My brain has not been the same since.
Wow. The churches have done real well out there. In the last years, though, they've gone down because of the rebel activity. The people just couldn't get around and do anything. Well, rebel activity is now sliding off, so it's not as bad as it used to be. Churches are growing again. People are getting out. Translation is going strong again. They're training more people every week. Mm. Man, it's really a positive thing going on right now in Africa.
Praise God. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. That's one of my pet peeves with American church. We have no clue. And I look at people like you and my other missionary friends, and I really, really get really, really short with American Christians who feel no need to be missionaries in their own neighborhoods. But that's another soapbox. I won't go down there.
No, that's
a good sermon. I like that. Keep going. Write it up. Get the transcript. You got next week.
I tell you what, I can't
risk their lives on roads and animals, and you can't walk across the street. Seriously?
I don't know him. They might not like me, right, Ron? Good grief.
Oh.
I'm going to give you a name. All I'm going to try and spell it. Maybe Belinda's quick with a pen, but I'm going to give you a name because, Ron, I know I'm going to mess this up. I have trouble with Smith. But anyway, this man's name is Laban. Maybe that's a regular first name. Laban. His last name is Biryam Mumisho. I think I got it. Right. Capital BIRYOMUMEISHO. And he's the founder and president there at the Uganda School. And this guy is phenomenal. This is a picture of him. Can you see that if I hold it up there?
Right there.
I got it.
Right there.
There he is. And it's a mission conference like you're talking about. And there he is. The kids love him. That's one from a little while back. They all have their uniforms like we do for our Christian school kids. And he is, you should hear him now. We talk at least once a week. And I just, like Ron, I just get touched, like Ron just said, that you can't, that we can't do more. In fact, I can hear, Ron, I can hear Bob, Mark's dad, Bob Rich. We should do something, say a word about him. He's a great man of God who blessed and touched my life very much. Mark used to be in my youth group. We're getting old, but years ago, back when we had chariots. So we don't want to go that far, Mark. That's too far. But yeah, it's back when ASU still had Frank Cush as a coach almost. I think it's that far back. And but Bob used to get, Bob used to get wired up when he reached. He got plugged in. You know, he got going. Remember, just light you up. Just loved him with all my heart. And Bob and his wife and Jerry, Bob's Mark's mom. She is this queen. This quiet and calm. Just the opposite. The way I remember it. Maybe things have changed more, but this is my memory. Bob would just get going. He's like, what do we get going? And she'd just stand there and smile. And every Bob would look over at her and everything would just be quiet. She'd bring the world back to the central. Everything's good. Right? Remember? And there were a few times I got a few winks as a youth pastor from her, but Bob would say the same thing. He would say, come on, let's get out there. Let's hit this neighborhood. Let's talk to people. I'm building the church. And his heart was on reaching people for and kids and everybody for Christ. And now Mark's going all around the world for it. It's awesome. It's praise just God. Awesome to see praise what he's God. Doing. Yeah. Paul, you got a thought? I'm sorry. Mark, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. Paul, you know that probably if you were in school with Joe at Hardin Simmons, I was living in Abilene at the time.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Uh-oh.
I'll give you the straight stuff on Joe sometime. If you really like. I'm just curious. Joe, I think the curriculum is called Abeka.
That's it, Abeka.
Yeah, Abeka. From Pensacola. Thank you. Mark and Belinda, did you find, as you were carrying out your responsibilities and the privilege you had, was there a sense of competition among Christian organizations like there is in our country, you know, like in the United States? There's a competition. And did you find that or was there an openness to work together, realizing that the goal was a lot bigger than just one little stream? Can you?
Well, in Vanuatu, they have a group of organization or of churches. It's called VCC, Vanuatu Christian Council, and they all meet together and they do work together to translate the Bible. And like the Presbyterians will translate it in one village. And let's see, there was the Anglicans. I think we're translating SIL in the midst of translating. They all do work together very well.
Good.
And when we were there in the main city, we went to a church called International Christian Church, and there were very many languages and other countries represented, and also denominations represented within that church. So we did see them working together well. Just the beliefs didn't really we all gelled. It just worked very well.
Yeah. The Presbyterians and Anglicans interpret?
Yeah.
Wow.
Together.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No. I think that's legitimate. You know, I remember when I was at Golden Gate Seminary in Mill Valley in the 70s, we had a Southern Baptist missionary who, if you know how Southern Baptists work, you know, our missionaries are appointed and they're supported by their International Mission Board, which used to be the Foreign Mission Board, et cetera. And he recounted the story for us, how Southern Baptists built a Christian church, you know, which was different denominationally. And because that church was having great success reaching people, but they didn't have the resources to build the building, to build the church. So it was really a crossover. And I was thinking, how does that work? You know, especially how we get divided sometimes on doctrinal issues and things like that. If how do we work together? What's the goal? I mean, and how do we encourage each other without worrying about resources? Does the Wycliffe organization and JARS, et cetera, reach across those kinds of barriers, you know, to give assistance to other denominations who might be trying to plant some works? Is that how it functions?
Yeah, when we set up a hubs for transportation, it doesn't matter to us where you're from or who you're with. If you need assistance, we do it. Even the tribe, different tribes out there, if they got emergencies with medical care, we take care of it. We do a lot of times we'll do government work. That's way we can supplement the what we charge the ones, the missionaries or whoever needs to get around. Mm-hmm. But we do a lot of the training for the other missionary aviation organizations in our JARS campus for training pilots and mechanics. They send them to us. We get them trained, and then they go out into the field. So, yeah, we work really well together. Right now, they are in Nairobi, Africa, all of them meeting together and planning on how they can work even better together. Wow. And put all these bases out in the world so that we're not overlapping and doing things that we don't need to be doing. But they're meeting this week right now.
Wow. That's great.
It's probably a situation where there's too big a fish to fry to be squabbling over denominational difference.
Yeah.
I can see that. We have too much time and resources on our hands, but that's another story, another soapbox. I won't get on that.
But you talk about relying on God, and this is the last thing I get to say tonight. That'd be fine with me. But you know, Glenn and I, we didn't start mission work until we were in our late 50s, and that's just when God called us. But it's been the best last 9-10 years of our life. And I just, anybody out there, if God's calling you, don't be bashful, don't be scared about how He's going to provide. We didn't have a big retirement, you know, we used to do it with. We just relied on God, and He seems to take care of us every day. And, you know, life is actually easier when we just let God take care of it. Just don't quit worrying. Let God mate. Take care of it and go on.
No worries, mate. No worries.
No worries, mate.
Amen. No worries, mate. Yeah, right. Amen.
Oh, praise Amen. God. I love
and
it.
And there's a lot of benefits. You know, we got to travel a lot of countries. We got to see Australia, same as you, New Zealand, Vanuatu, Fiji. You know, we hit all those countries on the way back home, Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't all bad. I mean, we had a lot of good times, too, you know.
Praise God.
You make a lot of friends around the world, and you go stay with them.
And how fulfilling. How fulfilling. I mean, joy, purpose, travel, people meeting, such with a purpose. How excited is that? That's just awesome.
Now, I have to do another question about Wycliffe, though, another thing I didn't know. So Wycliffe does Bible translations. And my question back for a while ago was, okay, how many missionaries do they have around the world to do all these hundreds and thousands of Bible translations? And someone told me there are a number of different organizations that are involved in Bible translations. So any idea how many organizations are involved with Wycliffe that help do that?
Don't have a clue. I do know that like Wycliffe USA, and you've got Wycliffe Hungary, and you got Wycliffe Germany, and they're all independent.
All over.
And then you got independent SIL groups, you know, SIL Vanuatu, SIL Australia. As coming from the business world, right. You know, that is no way to set up businesses, you know, but right. I'm telling you, it just, God works it out and everybody does their thing. And it I'm amazed.
How do you control the brand? How do you control?
Exactly.
That's a business 101. Two fishes and loaves. Remember the loaves and fishes. There you go.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. Just read a little blurb, and it talked about the number of different organizations that they work together and work with them going, and it gets done? Seriously? Really? That's amazing to me. Athletic shows God's involvement, though.
It does. That's amazing. No other way it can work.
Right. Yeah, amen. Yeah, I think we could all say in this little machine here, all of us, I'm looking at you, I think we could all say there's been times like when you said, Mark, where we have just been blown away. Paul might remember one time in Texas when we were at Brownwood Lake, Paul, and we did a youth revival there, and we used to preach and sing and then sing and preach back and forth. And I got so moved. And you talk about the presence, like Ron said, how could it get done? Well, that presence of God, sometimes he just appeared out of nowhere. I mean, I laid with my face right by the water on that lake, which was bad because it smelled like rotten eggs. Remember that, Paul? Yeah. There was something about the water. It had something. Yeah. There's some kind of chemical. But Paul, you know, Paul thought I died and his face down in the water. But we were sitting there, laying there, and I couldn't leave that spot. I didn't want to leave that moment, Mark. I didn't want to leave that time. I just felt like the presence of God was so close in what he had done and that evening in the rally and stuff. And those moments, you can't explain them. You can't diagram them, right, Ron? You can't put a formula. All you can do is look at people that you love and they're sharing this, and you remember and you say, oh my gosh, yeah, it's true. And the world doesn't get it unless we do like Ron's saying and like you're doing and share with everybody. We get everybody's an opportunity. Stand in line at Walmart. Or if you're an exclusive elite person, the French store like JCPenney or something like that, you know, if you're really exclusive. But, you know, wherever you're, there's somebody going to cross your paths that day that you can share something even beyond words of what happened to you and change their life forever. And they'll remember that moment with you. You'll never see them again ever.
Just be a friend to somebody.
Exactly. Yeah, just say, give them that opportunity. Huh? So, hey, that person cares. That person cares about what I said and what's going on. And I'm going to take just a moment for a quick commercial here, and I'm going to jump in there. Paul's giving me the nod.
The time's gone.
Yeah, that's right. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to pull the Stephanie approach right now, and I want to let you in the secret. Don't tell anybody, but here's the deal. This program, as you know, is paid for and taken care of by people like you that look forward to the great people that we bring in, like you're seeing tonight, people who love God, people who have been used as vessels in God's hands to change lives. We're the ones that get blessed each week, but it does cost. And we're so thankful that you spend that time with us each week in so many different ways, and that you carry the programs like tonight. You'll watch it all during the week. You may plug this in with a friend 2 weeks from now by just going to bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And when you go there, scroll down to archives, and the date today, April 15th, we'll have Mark and Belinda Rich right there, and you'll be able to come and hear about what God's doing again. So in order to make this work, at the top of our page, our regular engineer is not with us tonight, so I'm going to ask you to picture this in your mind. It's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And if you'll go there, you'll see at the top two ways that if God leads you, you can leave a donation that we put towards helping this program come to you week after week so that we get to be with you. And it's such a privilege and a pleasure to be with you each and every week. And we thank God for that opportunity. And all you take is right there. There's one of those little things. What do you call it, Ron? Where you put your phone up to it and it goes, bing. It's a little thing.
A QR code.
Thank you. Yes, that's why Ron is here, folks, because he's really good on this stuff. There's a QR code on there. You just pop it on there, and it goes ping on your phone and takes all your money. No, that's not it. Oh, you have a little thing in there. You can say if you want to donate a dollar, five, whatever. You could do that. It's on there. Or you can go to PayPal. It's on there. It says it all on there. The main thing is you can use that website, make BBS Radio. .com/raising expectations. Make it your sidekick and your friend. Pop it in your phone on a quick one button toss so you can bring it up and share it with friends so that we can bring more people like Mark and Belinda and others to you week after week after week. So if you feel led to do that, we'll be blessed because of it. God will be honored. We pray that's our goal and our prayer. And we thank you in advance for what you've done and what God may lead you to do. And we hope to see you someday. We hope to expand and do many more things with Raising Expectations. We'll be sharing some of that with you later. Well, enough said about that. So that movie, that's enough said. Mark and Belinda, we've got like 3 minutes here. Give us another word or anything you'd like to share about what you're doing. We appreciate all you've shared. And we're going to tell Stephanie she missed. She's going to be watching. She'll be back, Belinda. Don't worry. Okay. Share a word with us there. Ron and Paul, if you've got a question, go ahead, Mark. Anything at all about it.
I had mine a while ago when I told People sign up, man. Do something.
And it was profound, right, Ron?
It was. I mean, everything I say is profound. I mean,
amen. That's right.
West Texas logic. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I you know what?
Straightforward, right?
Straightforward. Realize you're getting a little older when QR code. What's hard about that, Mark? QR code.
I spent 4 years in Vanuatu, and when I came back, I went to this restaurant in Australia, and they had this little thing in the middle of the table, and I didn't know what it was. And I sat there and waited for a waitress or something, or a waiter, nothing. So finally, they told me about this little QR code on the table. So you use your phone, and you pay for it, and you order. Man, I felt dumb. So then I go to another restaurant. I go to pay, and they say, oh, just tap it. So I just tapped it, you know. No. With your credit card, you're supposed to tap it. I didn't know any of this stuff, man.
I was told by my daughter a few days back that, you know, nobody carries a wallet anywhere anymore. You just take your phone with you and you just tap everything.
I know. It took me a while to catch up.
Yeah, I can't do it still. My trust level is just weak. It's on my phone, like, no. And so the same, I was just now in Sydney, I go to a restaurant, same sort of deal. And she says, just tap. And I take my credit card, she says, yeah, just tap. So I'm touching the machine. She goes, yeah, just go and tap it. I touch the machine again. She goes, no, sir. Tap the screen. Going, the screen. You put the card on the screen going, okay, guys, make up your mind here. I need a symbol or something.
Yep.
But the technology is just leaving me behind. It is just leaving me behind. But speaking of technology, though, the last couple of seconds. Now, I read also that JARS has some great technology for pilots now, right?
Yes.
What's that system?
You have been reading, yes.
Yes, I have.
You know, you caught me by surprise. I forgot the name. In the commercial world, it's called like ForeFlight or Garmin have these apps.
Right.
Where they have the airports in there, that's got the frequencies, it's got all the information you need. Right. Well, JARS is developing one strictly for missionaries and the airfields that are out there in the mountains that nobody has registered. We have all the information for them, and we're developing it right now, and it's being used right now too.
Oh man,
that's great!
Flight span. That fascinates me because, again, I took some flying back in the day.
Yeah.
And most people don't understand. They see a little airstrip and they figure, oh, it's an airstrip. But it looks like an airstrip when you're standing next to it. If you're at 25,000 square feet in the air, or you're 10,000 feet in the air, that little strip turns into a little, like a needle.
Yep.
How do you find that?
It's so important out there in the jungles because, you know, a lot of times they have one way in, one way out. Or
yes.
They have you've got to fly through the valleys to get there. And you have, like, you know, once you get in there, you can't get out, so you're going to have to land.
There you go.
It has all this information on there. One of our pilots from PNG has helped develop that, Nate Gordon.
Yeah. Praise God. Praise God.
All you got to remember, technology. Mark, flying and you're not sure where to land, just take your phone and tap it on the wheel and it'll tell you what you're supposed to do. We got to go now, ladies and gentlemen. We ran out of time, but Mark, Linda, thanks so much. God bless you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you.
Oh, always. We'll be calling you back again. You're part of the family. So I love you guys. And we're all signing off. And thanks for tuning in tonight to your program, Raising Expectations. And remember, God's got great things planned for you this week. Walk with him, talk with him, listen to him, and then move on the path that he has just for you. Guarantee you, it'll be exciting, fulfilling, and wait and see what he does. Thanks a lot for tuning in, folks. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bless you guys.
And, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Belinda.
Take care of those grandbabies. See you. <You're
welcome>. Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556 or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.